following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that. It's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN radio superstation. I just feel like breaking out the SMU fight song this morning.
They won, didn't they?
Unbelievable.
Hey, SMU wins. Ohio State wins in a squeaker against Wisconsin college football. We had not an upset. I don't know for sure who was favored in that New Jersey Institute of Technology versus Michigan basketball game. I don't know who the points, but who's favored in that game. But I know, what is it? NJIT, 72, Michigan 70. So other than that, do you have any scores that you thought were interesting?
Yeah, Northern Illinois, a whole bunch. Bowling Green, not
no,
so much.
No,
sorry, buddy.
I know, that didn't work out very well.
How'd we do, Jeff? How'd we do?
I think the guy won, didn't he? Yeah, I think he got about every game right except for the major upsets, Oklahoma State and SMU probably.
Congratulations to Andy, 8-2. That's the best the Collar's done all year. Of course, he should have. They were easy. I wish, even if I'd have taken Oklahoma State, I still wouldn't have touched him. 5-5 for me, 6-4, 8-2. He only missed the Oklahoma and UConn games where SMU and Oklahoma State came back to win. And that so congratulations to Andy and all of our Pigskin Pick'em winners. Jimmy's one pick, he's 0-1, but he's still one game above 500 for the season.
But we'll just stop now.
47, 46-1. We need to get the juice back.
Hey, here's a good I want to talk about this, Doug.
Okay.
Been coaching football a lot of years. And I think sometimes if you're in a situation where you're playing a lot of games and you're trying to go 4-4 all the time, you know, I mean, you're in games where you're 4-4. I mean, Giltner High School, I'm going to give you an example. They punted four times like that one season. You know what I mean? So they're not in a whole lot of 4-4 seasons. But you're in a lot of 4-4 seasons. You learn a lot of strategy of things to do to try to win a football game. Oklahoma's up 7. They got the ball on about the 50-yard line, and they punt. And nothing bad happens, except they run into the kicker, but it doesn't give them a first down. So they move the ball up 5 yards, punt again, and they got three.
They don't have to.
No.
They don't have to.
No, they don't have to. That's what I'm saying. They don't have to punt again. And they punt it, and two guys run back there, and they're going to down that thing inside the 5. Two of them. So that means now you only got 9 guys to beat.
And the punter, so 8.
And maybe a big lineman. I think we get the point. That was a bad call. That was not a very good strategic move.
Well,
at that time of the game. And I mean, you don't know hindsight. No, you didn't have. Doug, you said it right there. The thing was, you already punted it once.
Yeah, and it gets me to one of the items that I feel need to be brought up here. And it's one of the things I wanted to talk about today on the show. And I guess we're 1 week away from coming here, having a long, extended Doug and Daddy show talking about the firing of Bo Pelini. And I'm not here to call for or request or ask for people to have their jobs removed from them. We've agreed on that, Jimmy. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on this Monday Doug and Daddy Show. If you'd like to be with us, tweet us at ESPN 1460 1515. You can always call the Kearney Chicken Coop fan line, 888-455-ESPN. That's 888-455-3776. And then Facebook is at ESPN Superstation. And, of course, the ever-popular Dent Popper inbox for all the emails, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. In fact, the file was so full last week that Jeff had to get a new squeezy folder to put all of them in. So, you know, accordion folder. He's got that. My point is, and it is just so crystal clear, and I'm afraid that Nebraska fan just doesn't get it. And I guess, Jimmy, unfortunately, we're not going to be playing meaningful football for 7 more months now. So, unfortunately, there's nothing that's going to change this opinion between now and then. Wisconsin and Oklahoma, you should be very happy today that Sean Eichhorst is not your athletic director, because Gary Anderson, you lost 59-0. Bye. Bob Stoops, how in the hell does he keep his job? Because Kirk Ferentz keeps it at Iowa. I mean, where – I'm trying to find the ground here that where programs like Oklahoma – which lately are as good or better, supposedly, than Nebraska. They're griping, but I don't hear the calling for the coach like every time Nebraska loses a football game. It doesn't matter what the score is. Every time. And this time, it got the coach fired. It got the coach fired. You have to give me why. If Nebraska can live with 9-win seasons, Bo is still the coach. Okay, good, bad, indifferent. But the constant, every moment, oh, my God, we're so much smarter than the coach. Explain to me, Nebraska fan, why other schools don't do what Nebraska has now done twice, at least twice, with Frank Solich and now with Bo Pelini.
Yeah, Doug, you know, we talked to, and Jeff, I think you can remember the situation. I don't know what day it was, but we had a guy from like ESPN or one of our, a big time guy, and I mentioned Oklahoma on the show, if you remember that, about how that program, and I said, you know, they only got that one win over Alabama that really is the big time win that they have. That's the only one they have, and they got to catch Alabama. The only time Alabama was not playing for a national championship. In the last 5 years. I mean, every other game, they were still had a chance to win a national championship. Well, they got beat by Auburn. And last year, you know, on that field goal return, and they had a month of practice. And I'll bet that wasn't very much fun, you know, for that month of practice, for them prepping for that Oklahoma game. So I agree with you, Doug. Doug, I was going to ask you this, too. What did you think? You fire a football coach, and you know what it's – you know, you just didn't, I mean, you fired the football coach, and that's what you have to do as an AD. I mean, that is your job. If you feel like you have to fire the football coach, you're the guy that has to go in there and say, you're fired, and I'm sorry, and you worked hard, and you did all the things you could do. All right, and Perlman, the president of the college, is that what he does? Is that his job?
Yeah.
And he does the same thing. But you bring these guys in. And their families come in, and his family, kids go to Pius X high school. I mean, you got all these things going on. And then in 5 days, you hire a new coach. I have no problem with that. But don't be laughing and smiling in the background. It's not funny. I mean, we got a good coach. We're going to move forward, and that's fine. But your face should be stern. You know, that man that was talking about the four teams that got selected in the NCAA yesterday was not laughing. He said, we picked Ohio State. It was a tough choice, but we did take Ohio State, and we just thought that that was the thing. But, boy, I'll tell you what, this is not funny. To TCU and Baylor, he was not in the background. Well, you know, hey, you know, we had to pick somebody and have a big grin on his face. So my point is, hey, this has got to be a little more, hey, we're really happy. I mean, smile and be happy when we win the NCAA championship or we go into the Big Ten championship game. Then have a big grin on your face. But I just didn't like it in that week. And within 7 days to be that happy and that, you know, celebration. This isn't a celebration for everybody. It's like, hey, this guy got a job. We're going to move forward. But this is not a thing that Nebraska should look at and go, hey, great, I'm really there. Let's move on. Let's all move on. Okay. let's move on. Let's be stern and let's look at it. Let's look at both sides of it. I mean, it's just like winning a football game and you won in overtime. Hey, it's fine to jump up and down and be happy for a second, but I got to go over and shake that other coach's hand too. And we got to go shake that other team that just lost and fought us to a dead even football game. And they lost, and we better look them in the eye, shake their hand and tell them, hey, we won, but man, we're awful happy to win. But we do have some feelings for you too. And that's my point.
And this whole college football playoff, let me just read something to you, Jimmy. Who's in? Ohio State, and they're going to play Alabama. Florida State, and they're going to play Oregon. Preseason, top 25. Number one, Florida State. Number two, Alabama. Number three, Oregon. Number five, Ohio State. So we went through all of this, and this is what you have. So here's what I say to you. TCU, you weren't ranked in the preseason top 25. Baylor was 10th.
Where was Stanford and Oklahoma in that
thing? Well, Oklahoma was 4th in the AP.
There you go. See, talk about a program that they went from Florida out of the rankings, and I think Nebraska was ranked about 19th or 20th. Go check it out.
22nd.
Thank you. And about where they finished.
Right, yeah.
You know what, man? You know,
and you fired your football coach.
Yeah, 22.
And you fired your football coach.
Yeah.
What were you expecting this year, people? You fired your football coach, okay? Oklahoma, 4. Auburn, 6. I don't think they've got anything to be too upset about in the SEC. They played some good football. They fired their defensive coordinator after 55, hung on them by Alabama. UCLA, 7. South Carolina, number 9. As predicted on this show, they were the overrated SEC team.
You said that. That was your big overrated team. In fact, I think your big overrated team of the year was South Carolina, and you stuck to that pretty good. That was a good call by you.
And I loved I liked Georgia, but then a lot of off-field, you know. Again, all being equal, injuries, and then you get suspensions and all that. You can't figure that in. So you can say I was wrong on that. Wisconsin was 14th. So a lot, you know, people say, well, we shouldn't have these preseason pung. Well, they were pretty good this year, people. Maybe not every year, but this year they were pretty good. Most of the teams that are in the preseason are in the postseason and pretty darn close to where they were. And the only team that fired, do I got this right? The only current top 25 team in the country that fired their coach is the one that we call our team. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't think that that leaves a black eye and a stink and a stench, then I don't understand what you're watching, what you're doing, what you're looking at. The only team in the top 25 going into the bowl season that fired their coach, and he's not in trouble, and he didn't break the law, and he didn't on and on and on, all these things I can list here. You fired your football coach. Mike Riley, I say it again, this is what you're walking into. This is what the job is that you took.
Very well said, Doug Duda.
Going to take a break. I'd love to hear from folks that disagree with me or agree. Either way, doesn't matter. Love to hear from you. 888-455-ESPN. Tweet us at ESPN 1460 1550, or you can email the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. And because they played last Thursday, we didn't have a chance to say this enough. I got it in. Cowboys beat the Bears. We'll be right back.
Comforting guidance when you need it most.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
Dedicated, trusted, and compassionate service.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
We listen to you.
We are here for you.
And we help ease a difficult time.
Our family serving your family for generations. Please call, stop by, or go online. Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
ESPN ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options. But which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Lots of sunshine develops across the area today as we top off up in the mid-50s for highs. Winds out of the northwest, meanwhile, stay at 10 to 15. Tonight, with mainly clear skies, we'll head back in the upper teens. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly. Right now, it's 41.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Getting you ready for lunch. The Kearney Chicken Coop is here for you, the original sports bar and grill. All places say they are, but only the Chicken Coop gives you the best of both sports bar and grill. But no one combines the best like they do. On Monday, lunch special, a steak sandwich with your choice of side, $7.49. Lunch is served from 11 to 4. That's the special time, but you can have anything you want on the menu anytime, 7 days a week. Don't forget from 2 to 5:30, specials on appetizers, long neck bottles, and draws. Kearney Chicken Coop invites you in for the Coop Koozie on Monday nights. Watch Monday Night Football. You buy the koozie for $5. And the cans that you put in it are only a dollar during Monday Night Football. It's all at the Kearney Chicken Coop Bar and Grill downtown Kearney. Sean Merriman is going to join us from the Big Ten Network at the end of today's program. So we're going to chat about that. Let's go to a couple of Twitters here. This comes from Rob. What is that jab at I-Corps? Doesn't even make sense. What do you mean it doesn't make sense? I-Corps fired a football coach for not winning the, quote, big game. 59-0 and Oklahoma State. That's a big game in Oklahoma. I could give you numerous examples. Quincy says, Cowherd swears he knows who Michigan is hiring. Could it be Shaw from Stanford? Your thoughts. David Shaw from Stanford going to Michigan. Is that what he said this morning, or has he revealed that yet? I didn't hear most of Cowherd today doing other stuff. So sorry, Quincy. Whatever. You know. Thoughts, just like Nebraska. Okay, they hired Mike Riley. Good guy. His track record shows that he hasn't won a lot. But then they counter with the resource and all that. I'm going to root for him. Hope he does well. Same thing for whatever Michigan brings in. Hope it's a fun guy. Hope it's a good football coach. Hope it's somebody we can beat when we play him. He's going to be under some of the same pressure. Let's go to the phone line here. Fred from Tecumseh is back with us. He is a Husker fan. Fred, what's up?
Not much, Doug. What's going on today?
Well, I'm just still irritated, you know, and I am most of the time, but, you know, I'm just wondering why Nebraska is the only top 25 team to fire a coach.
Hey, Fred, I was going to tell you, too, last week you made a good point on Tom Osborne, and we talked about a little bit about what he did and how he kept the program going and his recruiting and being able to go out of state, you know, with the amount of basically I was talking about the population of Nebraska and how many people live here, but he was able to get a lot of players. That was a great point you made.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I've had a couple conversations with Doug since I called in last time, and obviously when I called in last time, we hadn't hired a coach. And, you know, the first thing everybody asks is, hey, what do you think the new guy? I said, well, we hired a 61-year-old Tom Osborne. He's going to say everything right. He's going to do good press conferences. Going to do good in the home with the parents. He's going to take care of these kids. But he's going to go 9-3. 3, 10-2, just like Bo. He's not going to win any national championships anytime soon. If you watch Ohio State the other night.
Well, he's 71. He's going to have to do it. He's 61. He'll have to do it sooner. He won't do it at all.
Well, and that's what it is. And, you know, but as I said last week, Bo didn't get fired because of his coaching and his wins and losses. He got fired because he didn't do well with the media. And what I'm wanting is, where's the Omaha World Herald boys today on 10 miles? And you guys would know this. Who's the biggest rivalry in UNL basketball? Who do you want to beat the most?
Well, in the day.
Year in, year out.
In the day, it used to be Kansas. And now that Creighton is good, Tim Miles has stated that that's the team you got to beat. You got to be number one in your own state before you can be number one anywhere else, conference or nationally.
Hey, Fred, I got a
question. He's 0-4 the last four. And obviously, he ought to have more talent than Creighton. You know, everybody said they're down because, they lost McDermott. You know, this is the years you ought to be beating up on them. And it didn't look like it was going to happen. But, Tim's got that smile. And the World Herald boys like him because he talks to him. He listens to him, and he tells him what he wants to hear. And, this Riley guy is going to be good with the press because he's going to let those guys come to practices now.
Hey, Fred.
They're going to be welcome.
Fred, I got a question for you, and see if you can answer this, too. And I'll put it out to Doug, too. Okay, Tom Osborne was in the Big 8 and the Big 12. Try to imagine this schedule. Okay, we'll just say Nebraska had to play at West Virginia. Got Baylor and TCU at home this year. Played at Oklahoma State. And Kansas State, they played them in Arrowhead. Okay, how many of those six games do you think Nebraska would have won?
Because you want to put us in the Big 12? Is that your question?
No, I'm just saying that. I'm comparing that. Tom Osborne didn't get to coach in the Big 10.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, boy, he coached in the Big 10 against, Purdue, Illinois, some of these teams. I think he might have had a little more success. That's my point.
Yeah. I just want to know where all these young – I think everybody's up in arms about the football program. I'm done giving money until Bo's done. Well – I say they ought to quit giving to the basketball program so we can beat Creighton.
it's interesting. I mean, that's on my docket of things to talk about today. It does blow my mind a little bit. They played a bad game, and we talked about it. Nebraska, I just had a hard time believing, and they could still go on a great run and all the NCAA and blah, blah, blah. But, overrated. You don't go from being picked 12th in the conference to being picked second in the conference in 1 year and handle it. It's not like Kentucky where they brought in five blue-chip All-American freshmen or Michigan with the Fab Five coming in. It's going to be interesting, but you know what? I will take the Huskers over Incarnate Word on Wednesday night. And, Jeff, could you please find out where the hell that's located?
San Antonio, Texas.
San Antonio, Texas. I would have never known it. I would have never known it.
And I'm kind of being sarcastic on this. Tim Miles is nice. I'm sure he's a great coach and stuff. But, when everybody's wanting to jump on board, and I've said this before, do you think Bo teaches those kids not to tackle, to miss assignments? Do you think Tim Miles told Parker to step out of bounds three times? that's in the game plan on the chalkboard. Get right over here, and, if you got a chance, just go ahead and step out of bounds.
Yeah, get over there and stand about 2 inches inbounds, and just in case that your foot goes an inch one way or the other, you'll be out of bounds. Yeah, good point.
Oh, Fred. Fred, anything else before we move on?
No, but I just hope everybody can put this behind us. And like I said, I think Harvey's got his man. He's got Tom Osborne that's 61 years old. And Ihorst doesn't have to worry about getting embarrassed. I did show Riley, he doesn't dress up. I think he kind of dresses like Bo. He looks like he's always in a sweatshirt and stuff like that. So maybe it's Bo with the mask on.
We'll have to get him huskered up. Fred, hey, thanks for the call. Always appreciate the insight, buddy.
All right.
See ya. You can call the Carney Chicken Coop fan line as well, 888-455-3776. Yeah, It was a tough loss for Tim Miles and the boys last night. They've got Cincinnati coming in, which is going to be another test on Saturday, Jimmy, and they've got to win some of these. They haven't beaten anybody yet.
Yeah, you know, I think the one thing, just so we get this right, and what I'm trying to say is let's just don't overreact to either one. You know what I mean? I mean, there's a complete overreaction in just with one game sometimes. Do you agree with that, Doug? I mean, we have a tendency to really overreact.
Oh,
you
yeah.
win a game
That's
or you lose a game, there's a
two. Overreaction Monday.
Okay, thank you.
Luke says, hey, you hated the Tim Miles hire also. Now how do you feel about that? Luke, I don't feel any different. Again, we can go back to the archives and say that I did not like the hire of Tim Miles. That is correct. Not of the man. Not of the man. And that is where we get into a sticky situation here. Same way with Mike Riley. It's not of the man and his character and his personality. It's of we hired another guy from a Colorado State, from a Butler, from a, you know, fill in the blank. Doc Sadler was UTEP, I think it was. You know, you didn't go get. It was the same mold of the previous so-called failures as far as not being able to get the job done. And Tim Miles had a hot streak for about 10 games last year. Don't go overboard, buddy. Great. I hope they win. I love Nebraska basketball almost as much as football. I loved going to games in college. I still like going to them from time to time. But for a long time, there was no reason to talk about it. I mean, there was nothing great. The thing about basketball is, Jimmy, you play so many more games, you're going to pull off an upset from time to time.
Yeah, I would think that if we could go 500, seriously, in the Big Ten this year in basketball, I would think that would be a good season. I know that's not the goal, but, I mean, that would be a reasonable. There's some really good teams in that conference. You know, so I mean, that's I guess that's what I look at is last year we were picked 12th and finished 4th. But, boy, if we can finish 6th in that thing, that's pretty good. That's decent.
Husker Brian, and this is what I expected to get.
Good.
Here's what I expected to get.
All right, good. That's why we got the show going.
He fires the tweet off to ESPN 1460 1550. Bo is gone. Get over it. The players had a hard enough time. They don't need the media going around saying Bo got screwed. It's time to let it go and just focus on supporting this team instead of whining about what happened. Beautiful. Thank you so much, Husker Brian. Thank you so much. It was all the whining and bitching that got Bo fired in the first place that I had to listen to for the last 2 years. All right? Now I'm taking his side. I'm not even saying, again, it's about the man. I'm talking about look at the facts of what happened here. You fired Bo because you didn't like him screaming on the sideline. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Old Crow, I like your tweet today as well. His tweet, that's what it's called, right? A tweet. You Twitter and then you tweet and then there's Twittersome. Okay, all right, there, thank you. Oh, let's stay after him here. Let's go to Todd. Take a breath. Bo Pelini was 27-25 on teams that were above 500, 40-2 on teams that were below 500. Your thoughts? My thoughts are, what was Mike Riley? That's my thoughts. What's Bob Stoops? What's Kirk Ferentz? You can skew the numbers any way you want. Yeah, wish it would have been better. But you know what Bo was? 40-2 against those crap teams. He wasn't 28-24.
Hey, you know what's kind of interesting is I listening to TCU, Baylor, and Ohio State, you know, trying to find ways that they should be that fourth team in there. Because I think for the most part, guys, when Florida State went undefeated, they felt like, hey, if you won every game, they're going to be in. So, you know, they had Alabama. So, but those three teams were fighting about what was going on. And, boy, the way they talked about the numbers, and they made a comment about Ohio State, Doug, and what they said was, look how many teams that are bowl eligible that Ohio State has on their record. Well, that's because they had played a lot of teams that won 6 or 7 games. You know, so what you're saying is, you know, you could turn it, whatever. If you like Bo Pelini, what do you talk about? The 9 wins. You know what I mean? If you didn't like him, you talked about the 4 losses. You know? Yeah, so, yeah, good point. You kind of can twist it any way you want to on the side you're taking. But and later we'll talk about the in the show, hopefully we'll talk about TCU, Baylor, and Ohio State and how they kind of.
Let's go to that right now.
You want to go to that now? Yeah.
Because I want to give some folks I want to go with some folks that just I just want to know, do you think they got it right? I agree that they got the flashiest, and I don't think they got it wrong. That's the problem. I don't think there was a right or a wrong. You can argue for all of them, and I think this takes away a possible Cinderella. I think that is what this comes down to. The national pundit said this is going to eliminate your Cinderellas from back before 3 years ago when they said we're going to a college football playoff. They thought this would be harder for a Boise State, and now TCU is in a Big 12. But just, is it right? And I'll say this. All these teams had one loss. What all of a sudden anointed? I'll give you Alabama. Okay, I'm going to give you Alabama because their one loss was right there. But now that Michigan State is not your Big Ten champion, what makes Oregon so much mightier than the other one-loss teams? Just because Vegas keeps favoring them. What makes them? Everybody posted blowouts except Florida State this weekend. So throw out that argument. What makes Oregon so much better than everybody else?
Yeah, I think it's a good point, Doug. I mean, Oregon, they looked at them and how many people they beat, like the Stanfords, that type of the schedule, the USCs, the UCLAs, Arizonas, and I think they looked at that Pac-12 group. Basically, it's a lot of teams that are ranked between 9th and 17th or whatever. You know, they had a lot of wins like that and that. But I think that's what that's based on. But, you know, in Vegas, if you brought that up, in Vegas, if Florida State is the sixth best team, according to Vegas, it's Florida State, they have them ranked sixth. So when you put down lines, about who's favored and who isn't, Florida State is the sixth team. They got Baylor and TCU ahead of them.
Let's go to the Kearney Chicken Coop fan line. We go to Amherst. Richard is standing by. Good morning.
Morning.
What do you got for me, Richard?
Well, I just wanted to see what your thoughts were. They say that Oregon State didn't have the resources to get the recruits, but yet Coach Riley, he upset two well-known teams, was at USC and Stanford, with the recruits that he had.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of on the fence with Riley, but, I look at that as being a plus, a guy that can come in with supposedly the recruits and the resources that he has and knock off them top teams like he did. I mean, that's got to be a plus for him, doesn't it?
I think so, and again, it's not like Bo never beat anybody. I mean, he did get a couple of nice wins out there, and the problem is the hump. Nebraska had – what if Nebraska won two championships, Richard? I mean, and those would have been not in the last couple of years. What if the Texas thing goes Nebraska's way, and what if Nebraska doesn't have Martinez get hurt against Oklahoma, up 17-0, and they hang on and win that game? Would we still be talking about this today because it wasn't in the last two or three years and Bo was still angry? Do you think he still would have been angry, Bo?
I think he would have been looked at differently.
It's just so minute. Hey, Richard, thanks for the call. Really appreciate it. Thanks for listening. It's so minute. One play. We talk about it all the time. One play here or there. Nebraska's a call away in the Texas game. And you know what? It's the right call. To this day, I still say there's a second on the clock. The kid almost misses the field goal. You got to score some points. You played your butt off. And then they let it get away against Oklahoma, and it was just one of those many that kept grinding in the craw, just right there, of Husker fans. But you got to think, you pick up those two wins, and then you're playing in different bowl games, Jimmy, and you might get thumped there. So
I'll tell you what, it is amazing, though, how sometimes – a one shot in a basketball game dictates, where that ball goes in or out. You get to move on and advance, and it gets down to one shot. He made some good points. I look back at some college football games. You remember the 5-down game with Colorado and Missouri?
Mm-hmm.
The poor Missouri coach ends up losing his job later. What a big win that would have been for their program. And then, hey, how about Nebraska, Missouri? The pass, that went into the end zone. So there's been some games that you look at. Nebraska really, What I was trying to say the other day, and we both talked, Nebraska won a lot of close football games. I mean, when they really got down to it, Nebraska won some games that were 50-50 games. Nebraska won some. Martinez drove us down the field quite a few times and won some games and threw some passes in the end zone with 6 seconds to go, 8 seconds to go. The overtime win we just had against Iowa. You know, we won some big, close games. Now, the Minnesota game went the wrong way on us. You know, but if you look back, Nebraska won a lot of those close football games. We weren't losing a lot of the close games. So some of that stuff's coaching down the stretch, not doing things to beat yourself.
Bob from Grand Island says, have you ever liked a coaching hire? Here's the deal. And thanks, Bob. Always good hearing from you. I liked the Doc Sadler hire. I hated the Barry Collier hire. Okay, now how'd that work out? Everybody liked Doc. Just didn't get, you know, even he had some nice wins in there. And then where do you go? I mean, nobody really cares about the coaching hires outside of the big two sports, men's basketball and football. I don't think any of us liked the Bill Callahan hire. We were right. Right about Barry Collier. I guess technically I'm wrong about Doc Sadler, no doubt about it. Bo Pelini, I think we all kind of liked that hire, didn't we? I like Dave Van Horn getting hired in baseball. I like Darren Erstad getting hired in baseball. Connie Yori in basketball. Cook, he didn't even really get an opinion in volleyball. What other sports would you be looking at? I mean, Bill Straub in bowling. Hell yeah, great hire. Ex-pro, winning national titles. Manning in wrestling. I don't know. I know there's a coin flip there in the wrestling community. But Nebraska's consistently right there in some of the nation's powers in the nation's toughest conference now.
You know, Norm Stewart was coaching at Missouri, and they were, I think, 21-0. Jeff, I don't expect you to look this up, but Mo Ibe went down with Nebraska's basketball team and beat them about 18 points. Missouri was ranked number one in the nation. And the next year, I think Nebraska went to the NCAA tournament, if I'm not mistaken, and lost. And he was fired. You know,
Mo resigned.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah. There you go.
He might have got fired.
Yeah. Well.
But he handed his letter of resignation walking off the court.
Yeah.
Famous story. Great story.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but, and it might have been about assistant coaches or it might have been about somebody. Who knows?
Didn't
I don't
like
know what.
The way he won. They didn't like
the
way his style.
He didn't win. The
yawn.
Yeah. There you go.
We don't want to win 52-49. We want to win 97-64.
Yeah, Jeff, hey, that might have been in about 82, 83, 83, 84, right?
When Iba went down?
Yeah, no, when Iba won the game against Missouri. Yeah, they were like 21-0 that year. And, I mean, I'm talking about winning on the road against the number one ranked team in the nation.
Yeah, I think 83 is right.
Okay.
I think 83 is right. Mark says, what if we drop the Hail Mary and lose in overtime to Penn State last year? Bo gets fired last year. No what ifs. They go both ways. Probably right, Mark.
Good point.
Yep. Right, right. Good point. Like that one. Todd says, take the rose-colored glasses off. Bo blowing up at everyone can't be good for recruiting, can it? Had to have an effect. Bo doesn't blow up at everyone. See, this is where, and right or wrong, this is where our opinions differ for everyone that listens. You're on one side or the other. He's got recruits. He's brought players in. You have seen, remember people, you have seen the devastation that this football team received when they were told Bo was fired. I'm sure not all 130 of them love Bo, but it sounds like 99% of them do. Okay, so you got to have a little passion. Now, his passion is shown a little bit differently than others. So you're on one side of the fence or the other. We've had this argument for the last 5 years. Either you don't mind and accept that part of Bo, or you don't like it. You can't have it all. I'm one of those that, hey, he's fiery. I get it. Doesn't bother me. Doesn't bother me.
Let's think of some other. Let's name some other coaches, Doug. Can you? Let's.
Nick Saban.
I'll name one. You name one, and tell me if they're fiery or not. Okay. Mike Ditka.
Fiery. Super Bowl ring.
Bobby Knight.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if he hadn't won as many as he did, he probably would have been shown the door earlier.
Yeah, but there's a guy that over, you know. Yeah. John Wooden.
Hey, where do nice guys finish?
John Wooden, UCLA.
He's a little fiery.
Yeah.
A little.
He should have recruited better. He just didn't do a very good job of recruiting.
Boy.
Whoa.
Checkbook. Joe says about this college football playoff. He says, I'm going to call it an early night on January 1st when the national semifinals are. He says Alabama's going to roll in a route. Not sure what the line is. It's 9, 9.5. But I'm thinking Bama will roll. And then he says, I think TCU would have only been about a 3-point dog and Baylor a 5-point dog. And I don't think so, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good, very good question, though. You don't know for sure what Vegas is going to do with that, where the game's played at.
Yeah, Joe says, I wish Vegas had a say in this. I hate going to bed early.
But Florida State was sixth.
Yeah, they wouldn't even have been in.
Yeah, they were sixth for sure. It looks to me like Alabama and Oregon are the top two, though. Yeah.
Brent says that Dougie Downer has now officially replaced Debbie Downer on Saturday Night Live. Apparently, it's not as much fun when I whine on the other side of the argument as when most of the people whine about Bo and things like that. This isn't as much fun. I like it. I think it's fun. We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. When we come back, we'll take a look at the Midtown Mark Cooler question. Sean Merriman of the Big Ten on the latest with Michigan. Thoughts on Nebraska. 10 Big Ten teams playing in bowl games. We'll have it next.
It's tough to see games like this coming to an end. 7 seconds to go. The Cougars have fought hard all night long, but they're down by two, and they have to get the ball back. Here we go. Johnson inbounding the ball, and it's tipped away. The Cougars have it. 3 seconds. 2 seconds. Here's a three out of the corner.
Are there any worse words than, quote, buffering or loading? When you think reliability and internet, think Prairie iNet. Prairie iNet provides reliable high-speed service that can keep pace with the excitement of basketball. Get big speed for a small price with the nation's largest fixed wireless network. With Prairie iNet, enjoy streaming games, movies, or video with no interruptions. So sign up for Prairie iNet today and get your choice of a free month of service or a $50 Amazon gift card. That's right, a free month of service or a $50 Amazon gift card just for signing up with Prairie iNet. Call Prairie iNet today at 308-221-7844. That's 308-221-7844.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
You want action. You want excitement.
This place is going nuts.
You want the ultimate adrenaline rush. Then you want the one and only PBR.
The Midway Auto Dealership's PBR Challenge coming to the Buffalo County Fairgrounds Saturday night, December 13th at 7:30. Featuring great riders and tougher bulls than you'd ever expect. Brought to you by Mid-Nebraska Chemical, New West Sports Medicine, Sapp Brothers Travel Center, Crown Royal, Regal Apple, and Best Western Plus. Don't miss this year's Midway Auto Dealership PBR Challenge, December 13th at 7:30.
You're in luck. Hilltop Mall is making holiday shopping fun and easy this year. Mall gift cards and gift wrap available all season long. Good for every store in the mall, Hilltop Mall gift cards always make the perfect gift. Stop by the mall office to purchase. And don't let your kids miss Santa. He is at the Hilltop Mall to hear all their holiday wishes. It's all at the Hilltop Mall this holiday season.
Time now for the Midtown Mart Cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Obviously, over the weekend, we were asking you your initial reaction to the hiring of Mike Riley as the new head football coach. 81% good hire, 19% bad hire, and quite a few people chimed in this time on the Midtown Mart Cooler question. So today, we ask you, did the playoff selection committee get it right? Yes? No? Baylor should be in? No? TCU should be in. Vote now at ESPNSuperstation.com. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topic. Sean Merriman of the Big Ten Network joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Jim Langan, 10 teams in bowl games. For a while there, Sean, they weren't sure there was going to be enough spots for all these teams. Good morning. How are we doing?
Yeah, good. How are you guys? How is everything?
Well, we're still debating the coaching hire here.
Understandable. I'm sure you're not alone there.
Yeah, we'll be jumping into the bowls here, but what are you guys hearing about Michigan? A lot of people are throwing, obviously, Harbaugh's name, David Shaw. Where's Michigan headed?
Yeah, Harbaugh has been the most popular name, certainly thrown around, and probably the one that I believe the fans want the most. However, there's been reports that have come out in the past couple of days that have said that he's not necessarily, you know, interested in going back to college. He's happy with the NFL. He wants to stay there. And honestly, that's kind of the direction I thought that it would go all along. A lot of people believe that he might make the jump back to Michigan, but personally, it would surprise me if he did that. Les Miles has come out and, you know, apparently told recruits that he is indeed staying at LSU. I think that those two were probably their top picks, from what I understand. It'll be interesting to see where they go now. You mentioned David Shaw. I think that that would be a really good hire for them if he were to leave Stanford. Again, not necessarily sure that that would be a move that he would be all that interested in, but I imagine that they're going to talk to him. Greg Schiano is another name that we've heard, which would be interesting. He took Rutgers back to being relevant. He went to Tampa Bay, and that was kind of a failed experiment. Butch Jones is another name we've heard. Current coach at Tennessee, has some state of Michigan ties, but both of those names are guys that I don't think that if this program wants to make a home run hire, I'm not sure the fans would consider either of those names a true home run hire.
The debate was out there with Nebraska, Michigan, Florida, and some other coaching openings. You know, what's most desirable? It doesn't matter desirable. What are the differences, do you think, Sean, between coaching, recruiting, working in Lincoln, coaching, recruiting, working in Ann Arbor?
That's a good question. Obviously, both of the schools have, you know, a ton of tradition and are known as traditional football powerhouses. I think that really part of it comes down to where the talent is regionally. Michigan traditionally borders Ohio, and you look at Michigan, that's a school that recruits a lot of kids from that Ohio area, which is a true football powerhouse. But if you're a recruit looking at this, I think that one of the things they're, you know, really pitching is tradition, is the fact that, you're going to get to play in some of the biggest stadiums in front of some of the biggest crowds throughout college football. And that's something that's really important to these kids. You know, they're both going to get to play in the Big Ten, obviously, which is, he had a bit of a down year this year, I guess you could say, but it's traditionally considered one of the better conferences throughout the nation. So when you kind of break them down, I think it really comes down to deeper things such as early playing time, facilities, the chance to play in front of national audiences. Those are kind of some of the things that these 18-year-olds are looking at when you really dig deep and look at really specifics. So both of those teams, you know, are going to have, I would guess, the chance to play early, pending on position. Both of those teams are looking to rebound off of years that neither of them really considered to be great years for what they had, you know, planned coming into the year. So I think that there's deeper specifics that if you're a recruit, you kind of look at and say, this is the reason I want to go to Nebraska, or this is the reason I want to go to Michigan. Because historically, they're both above the best in college football.
You know, Nebraska, we had Gale Sayers one time, and he went to Kansas. But other than that, when we've been able to recruit pretty much a player that's a really quality player, we've had a couple of Heisman Trophy winners that were from Omaha, yep. Nebraska. In Michigan, I mean, you've got Michigan, you got Michigan State, you've got Ohio State that's going to be recruiting, you know, in that area. Right now, does Ohio State, is this a problem for Michigan and Michigan State, the Ohio State success, getting kids out of Michigan to go to Ohio State, or do you not see that now?
Well, I think that each of those schools that you mentioned, all three, kind of have their own unique answer to that question, because if you look at Michigan State, since Mark Antonio's arrived there, that has kind of been his MO, is recruiting kids that aren't necessarily the highest ranked kids, but kids that fit that program. And he has developed players in that program better than any coach, not only in the Big Ten, but honestly, I think throughout the country. Because if you look at kind of the recruiting, not that I'm saying that everyone needs to buy into recruiting rankings because, you know, they're not necessarily always accurate. But if you look at that, he's done an exceptional job developing kids. And I remember doing a breakdown leading into that Big Ten championship game last year, and it was amazing the disparity of how high Ohio State's recruits are compared to Michigan State, and yet Michigan State ended up winning that game. Now, when you look at Michigan, this is a school that traditionally recruits exceptional talent as well, and they go out of the box. They recruit kids from Florida, California, Texas. Since Brady Hoke was there, his roster was very diverse. It'll be interesting to see what kind of ties this coach has coming forward, where he'll be able to find recruiting hotbeds, where his assistants have ties, and he'll be able to send them so they have relationships to bring kids in. Because, yeah, we know that Ohio State is going to get the top kids from Ohio. That's just how it works. They're the dominant in-state school. So schools like Michigan State and Michigan have, you know, a bit of a difference. Michigan State goes into Ohio and gets the number 8 through 12 kids and develops them into great players, whereas Michigan seems to branch out, go throughout the nation, and develop ties in different places throughout the country. So it'll be interesting to see if that trend continues now with Michigan's new coaching staff, whoever that may be.
Talking with Sean Merriman of the Big Ten Network, BTN.com. You can always check out some great articles and insight on BTN.com. And, Sean, we picked Ohio State Friday to win the game, even though they were the underdog. I think Vegas missed one. Obviously, then you look at the score and you find out. But, boy, I didn't see the beatdown coming like this. And, obviously, when you had the chance, Ohio State needed to put the beatdown on Wisconsin to get that spot in the college football playoff. But just your reaction on what you saw on Saturday from the Buckeyes.
Yeah, I can't imagine that anyone outside of people in that program were expecting something like this. I was shocked. I thought that it was going to be a really close game. I thought that Cardell Jones was, you know, going to have some struggles early on. He was near perfect. I mean, the guy played absolutely phenomenal. Their offensive line dominated the line of scrimmage against the Wisconsin defense that was ranked number 2 in the nation heading into that game. It was a complete one-sided dominant performance by the Buckeyes. Not something that I expected to see, like I said, but, you know, hats off to them. They knew that this was something that they needed to do if they had a chance to get into that 14 playoff, and sure enough, it proved to the committee that it was indeed enough. You know, placing them in that number 4 spot, leaving both the Big 12 schools, Baylor and TCU, out of it.
Was it the right call?
I think it was. I agree with it. You know, it's interesting because when you look at it, it's how do you define what was the, you know, correct call, I guess, because there were 6 teams that really were worthy of that spot. There's no doubt about it. But I think that if you're the committee, if you would have taken Baylor or TCU after Ohio State did what they did with their backup quarterback, that to me would have been a complete, you know, slap in the face to Ohio State. They would have had an argument. But now the committee can say, well, the Big 12 doesn't have a playoff game. A championship game. They don't. Ohio State had one, and not only did they play in it, they absolutely dominated a Wisconsin team that was the top 15 team in the nation. They got that signature win that we had been saying. And the committee said beforehand, they said, we're going to watch Ohio State extremely close because we want to see how Cardale Jones and their quarterback play respond. And they couldn't have responded any better. So I think it was the right call, certainly a close call. All 6 teams were probably worthy, but I think in the end, you know, since they had to pick 4, I think they got it right.
Yeah, I'll ask you, and you'll have to speculate on this, but, you know, some years the right number is going to be 9 teams. Some years it's going to be 6. Some years it's going to be 2. You know, you just don't know where that number is and where it goes. The average person, I think when we watch football games, we have a tendency to overreact on what just happened last week. And, you know, what if Ohio State played Indiana, and that was their last game, and if TCU plays Kansas, their last game. You know, and TCU only wins 30-26, and now all of a sudden you completely throw them out. I just don't understand how they had TCU 3. And they win 55-3, and now they go 6. I don't know what message that – I'm not saying they got it wrong. I think maybe Ohio State's the fourth-best team. But I don't know how you tell a team, hey, you went from 3-6 after you won 55-3, because we have to have some sportsmanship here in college football. That's still got to be the bottom line. You can't beat people 72-0 and say, well, that did it, you know, because if it had been 72-3, we'd have never got in, you know. Okay, your speculation on my comments about that being the last game for Ohio State, how important was that compared to if they would have beat Penn State in overtime?
Right, right. Yeah, you're 100% right. And it's interesting because when you listen to Jeff Long, who is the head of the committee, talk to the talk to ESPN after he makes the rankings every week, one of the questions they always ask him is they say, you know, are you judging this on the previous week or the full body of work? And it always comes back to them saying, well, the full body of work. But like you said, if that's the case, right, why did Ohio State make this huge jump and TCU fall like they did? Another thing that really blew my mind is the fact that Mississippi State jumped ahead of Michigan State when both of them were off and neither played in a conference championship game. I don't understand how at all that's possible. And therefore, Michigan State's bowl game changed. Everyone had them pegged in the Orange Bowl to play Georgia Tech. Now they're going to the Cotton Bowl to play Baylor in a game that's essentially a home game for Baylor, playing at in Dallas Cowboys Stadium. So there are some things that I certainly question whether they are really watching the full body of work. But, you know, I think their argument is the fact that Ohio State hadn't had many chances at a signature win throughout the season up to this point, and they knew that they were going to get that chance in the championship game, and they really, really took advantage of it. Is that the right argument to make? You know, I don't know, probably not. It should certainly be judged from game one till the end. But I think that, yeah, they certainly put a lot of weight in the last game you play. And how much weight that game has as far as was it a ranked opponent, was it a conference championship game, and what style you won in. And I think that your point was spot on where you were saying, you know, this shouldn't be about, you know, beating teams 75-0 to prove a point. I agree. You got to take sportsmanship into account at some point. And I hope that college football doesn't continue to trend in that direction. But again, you know, I don't think anyone saw a 59-0 blowout game against Wisconsin coming.
A couple questions left here for Sean Merriman of the Big Ten Network, BTN.com. Jimmy, while we've been talking to Sean, I was just going over all 10 games. And it's, as I've said with whatever the conference it seems like, especially the Big Ten, is that they get run over in the bowl games, but they're never the favorites in these games. And no one ever looks at that. You get the number 5 against the number 2 of the SEC. Let me run these down for you real quick. And, Sean, I don't know if you've seen this. There are 10 Big Ten teams playing in this order. Illinois, 3-point underdog to Louisiana Tech. Rutgers, 4-point underdog to North Carolina. Penn State, 3.5-point underdog to Boston College. You getting a trend here? Nebraska, a 6-point underdog to Southern Cal. Maryland, a 14-point underdog to Stanford. Wisconsin, a 7-point underdog to Auburn. Michigan State, a 3-point underdog to Baylor. Minnesota, a 6-point underdog to Missouri. Iowa, a 3.5-point underdog to Tennessee, and as we already know, Ohio State, a 9-10-point underdog to Alabama. Sean, Las Vegas, who many people believe are the smartest ones out there, have the Big Ten going 0-10. Now, we know they're not going to go 0-10. That's just too much of an odds. But they're an underdog in all 10 games. Your reaction?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and right before you guys called me, I was writing them down and looking at all the bowl games and kind of looking over the storylines. And you're right, there isn't a game on the slate where I'm looking and saying, oh yeah, the Big Ten's definitely going to win this one. I mean, they have incredibly tough matchups throughout this thing. And you know what? I guess that's just, I don't know, that's just the way it is, I guess. But when you look at some of these games, yeah, Maryland-Stanford, I mean, that's an awfully tough game for Maryland to be playing in a bowl game against a Stanford team. Nebraska got a tough matchup in USC. But one of the things that the way the bowl games have changed this year is that they don't want to send teams to the same destination multiple times in a row. I know that's why Nebraska stayed away from Florida and is now playing in San Diego. And there's a couple examples of that. So that, from a line standpoint, doesn't necessarily favor the Big Ten and a lot of these matchups. But that's the way the new bowl system is. And you remember in the old one, it would say, you know, the number two team in the Big Ten will play the number three team in the Pac-12 and so forth. Well, it's not like that anymore. They're working with the schools now to determine where these schools will end up. So a bit of a new process, and this is the first time that we'll see how it all plays out. But, you know, it certainly looks like a tough sled here from the Big Ten, from the bottom-tier teams that just got in to the top-tier teams like Michigan State, Ohio State. Like you said, there's not really a matchup that I'm looking at that I say, oh, yeah, this is going to be Big Ten all the way.
We were talking with Dave Revson of the Big Ten Network on Friday's Doug and Daddy show, and the question there was, you know, what do everybody think about the hire of Mike Riley? Well, everybody kind of loves the man. But the comment I made this morning to start the show off, Sean, and we'll wrap it up with this as we come back to Nebraska, unless I totally missed something here, and Houston has fired their head football coach after 3 years in Tony Levine, so there's another opening out there. But of the top 25 in the AP poll or coaches poll, as we said here this morning, one program fired their football coach, and it was Nebraska. One out of those top 25 has fired their football coach. You guys can say and write a lot of things, and then there's the discussion that's going on in the boardroom and just when you're having lunch. Well, what's the real thoughts on what Nebraska did last week?
Well, you know, when the announcement was made, I was pretty shocked. And I think that was everyone's reaction. And more so not because of who it is, but because of how fast it was. And that, even more than that, that no one really, when you broke down the potential candidates, Mike Riley wasn't a name that was ever thrown towards the top of that list. And I think that's what kind of shocked people the most and caused the most initial shock, that when we heard this, this was not a name that we had read about. Yeah, this is a guy that Nebraska could go after. You know, I heard his name mentioned towards the bottom of some list, but he was never a top guy that people wrote about that they said, yeah, maybe this is the guy that they should get. And that's, you know, now, after that happened, I think that that was the initial shock from Nebraska fans. That and, well, Oregon State, you know, that's not a powerhouse program. If we are hiring a guy in Bo Pelini who had one of the best records throughout the nation over the past 7 years, why aren't we bringing in a guy who is even superior in that aspect? So you look at Mike Riley in that aspect and you say, well, Oregon State, you know, not a big-time program, not a splash hire, not a guy that will lead us past that 8 or 9 bowl mark, win us a conference championship, take us to a New Year's Day bowl game, and even beyond that. So in that sense, it was a bit shocking. Now, when you look at Mike Riley's kind of coaching pedigree and what he's done, he has NFL experience, which I think is a positive. He took a Oregon State team that was an absolute, you know, bottom of the barrel team in the Pac-12 and elevated them and led them to some really good seasons. He certainly improved the program over time. Is that enough to please Nebraska fans? It doesn't seem so right now from reading some of the reaction I got. But, you know, this guy can coach. He has a really good background. Like I said, he's different than Bo. Bo's kind of a fiery guy you saw that was, you know, had a kind of tough guy demeanor about him, whereas Mike Riley is more so maybe a bit reserved and more, you know, some people said that Bo was a people's coach, a player's coach, some didn't. It seems like Mike Riley is certainly a player's coach. Is that what Nebraska needs? You know, that's up for debate. I guess we'll see in time. But I can see the reason that Nebraska fans were shocked by this. There was a lot of shock factor that went into this, and you know. But right now, Nebraska's seemed like they were in a fragile state after Bo Pelini was fired as a whole. They wanted a guy to come in and really to turn this program around, and they made a quick hire. They made a guy that seems like he will get along really well with the players. Is that the whole story and everything they need? Absolutely not. But we'll see how it goes from here. I think that overall, I think that this is, you know, we'll see what he does during this time, but I don't think it's as bad as a hire as some Nebraska fans seem to lead on to be.
Well, Sean, we appreciate you giving us some time and chatting with us on the Doug and Daddy Show today. Talk a little Big Ten football. Let's hope we pull some upsets over the next month.
Yes, absolutely agree. Thanks for having me, guys.
Take care. Sean Merriman, BTN.com here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Got some more tweets and emails to get to, plus a couple of volleyball notes and other weekend sports activities. But my God, Jimmy, has that ever happened before? There's no way. If you've had more than five teams out of your conference, there's no way they could have all been underdogs. 10? All 10?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember last year. I'm doing this off the top of my head. I think did we only win two bowl games last year? We'll have to look that up. I know Nebraska won and Michigan State won. I was just trying to, you know, go through it.
Did Nebraska won their bowl game last year?
Yeah, Nebraska beat Georgia.
They didn't fire their coach?
No.
Wow.
No, in fact, I think in April they gave him an extension, and then he went 9-3. But anyway, Nebraska and Michigan State, I think, were the two. And that might be wrong, Doug. That might have been on January 1st. And the more I look back, maybe Minnesota might have won. I don't remember. If they were ahead, I know. And maybe Minnesota won last year's bowl game, too. But I can't remember off the top of my head what happened.
Well, we'll take a break. We'll check it out. We'll wrap it up after this.
All sports, one source, two stations. KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney. Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
A few years ago, we decided as a company to drop the big franchise name so that we could invest the franchise dollars locally in the good things Kearney has to offer. And in that, I mean the people and what we do for each other. This is Tim Norwood with NP Realty.
NP Realty is proud to help bring a Merry Christmas to needy kids through the Buffalo County Goodfellows. Join the spirit of giving. Donations can be made online at kearneygoodfellows.org.
NP Realty, developing dreams.
Maintenance is cheaper than repair.
Now's the time to get your vehicle into Tice Auto Care for a winter checkup. Winter driving can take a toll on your vehicle, and it's important to make sure it's ready to take on the cold weather. Tice Auto Care can check your brakes, hoses, and fluids so that you're ready for the tough winter driving. Stop by Tice Auto Care and visit with Mike and the crew about your winter vehicle checkup. They're ASE certified at 3rd and Denver in downtown Hastings.
Maintenance is cheaper than repair.
Since the dawn of time, the land has been nurtured, first by the hands of nature and then by the hands of man. Farming is a way of life here. Today's farmer has a feel for the land, a knowing touch that shows in the riches of the harvest. And for years, they've depended on CHS Agri-Service Center to help them. CHS is a locally owned and locally controlled, so the people behind the counters and on the phones are the people you've known for years, people you can rely on. There's a CHS Service Center near you, and always here at chsagri.com.
Convenient walk-in medical care.
Open when you need us.
Hastings Convenient Care.
No appointments necessary.
From sore throats to broken bones,
cuts, or illnesses.
Hastings Convenient Care is open when you need us.
Open 7 days a week.
Monday through Friday, 9 till 8, and weekends 11 until 5.
Program the number in your phone so it's there when you need it.
402-463-6300. Visit online at hastingscare.org.
208 South Burlington, Suite 108, just south of the underpass.
The care you need at the time you need it.
Hastings Convenient Care.
I'm a business owner, and we called Kearney Crete and Block when we needed a new and inviting-looking driveway.
We called Kearney Crete and Block when we decided to do a fire pit and patio. You should be calling Kearney Crete and Block and Christensen Concrete for all your concrete and masonry supplies. Let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and value of your home and business. Kearney Crete and Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
Kevin Harlan here with a preview of Monday Night Football. Join Dan Fouts and me from Lambeau Field as the 9-3 Packers take on the first-place Falcons. Green Bay is a perfect 6-0 at home this season. Atlanta coming off a terrific win over the Cardinals. It should be a good one on Monday Night Football. Hear the NFL all season long from Westwood One.
The Falcons at the Packers kick off at 7:35 on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Doug and Danny Show. Doug Duda, Jim Langan wrapping things up on this Monday. Tomorrow, I don't know what we'll talk about. Oh, Paul Plinski, athletic director at UNK, telling the Kearney Hub that the search is right on schedule. Another weekend of games over, and that may open things up. I know a lot of people are getting the feeling that it's somebody that is in the playoffs right now, and it'll be interesting to see if that is indeed the case, as it was not with Nebraska's hire. Let's go to the tweets here, and all kinds of other stuff I need to get to in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. This comes from Dakota. He says, Mike Riley will turn kids like Seathan Carter and Amani Cross into national standouts. Have a little faith. That's big-time faith right there. I hope you're right. Nate says, I was excited about the hire, but now it's waning. Looks like Coach Riley is bringing his, quote, Cosgrove with him. Bleh. And I think you're referring to defensive coordinator Mark Banker. And when we talked with Lindsay Snell of the Oregonian on the show Friday, she said he might have been in a little hot water out there. Coach folks might want to have got rid of the defensive coordinator, and reports are that he will be coming with Mike Riley to Nebraska. In fact, if you go by what Sean was saying on Husker Online, offensive line coach Mike Cavanaugh, linebacker coach Trent Bray, defensive coordinator Mark Banker, special teams coach Bruce Reed, wide receivers coach Brent Brennan, still expected to follow him to Nebraska. And that some of those may have arrived yesterday because a charter did come in from Corvallis.
Yeah, she did an excellent job. That was one of our better people we've had on as far as helping us with what the situation was. She also said she thought the special teams coach was in trouble, too. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, and he's
on his way, too, yeah. But
you came up with what you found from last year, too. Of course, there's two more teams to go bowling, and both of them did in Rutgers and Maryland, but only two wins for the conference.
Yeah, we went 2-5 last year. Well, Clemson beat Ohio State 40-35. South Carolina beat Wisconsin 34-24. LSU beat Iowa 21-14. Kansas State beat Michigan 31-14. And Syracuse beat Minnesota 21-17. And Nebraska won 24-19 over Georgia, and Michigan State beat Stanford 24-20.
That was all luck that Nebraska won. Well, just luck. Just luck.
Well, there's a lot of those. Most of those games could have gone either way except for Kansas State, Michigan.
Let's hit a couple of other sports notes, and then we're out of here for the Doug and Daddy Show today. Again, the Holiday Bowl that Nebraska is in is December 27th. It's a Saturday night, you whack jobs. It'll be at 7 o'clock, so everybody can have fun, and Christmas will be passed. And then other people will have their Christmas that weekend, and they'll get to watch the game with their family, so it'll be just awesome. And so that's what it is, 7 o'clock at night out in San Diego. Nebraska men, as we talked about, lost to Creighton. Nebraska women suffered their first loss with 2 seconds left to put back down there at Tuscaloosa, 53-51. Alabama gets the win. UNK and Hastings split their games over the weekend. For the men, they beat Southwest Baptist. The women were defeated. And for Hastings College, the men got beat at the buzzer on a three-pointer and lost to Briarcliff 70-69. The women won 61-52. By the way, Kearney boys hit a three-pointer at the buzzer to beat Lincoln Southeast on Saturday. Kearney Wrestling won their own invitational. Nebraska Volleyball had to go 5 sets to beat Utah, and now they are on to Seattle, where they will play at 8:30 in the regional semifinals against the number 3 seed Washington. The match will be televised on ESPNU. And BYU and Florida State will play the first match at 6 o'clock. If Nebraska wins, it would be Saturday night, 10:30. Always love when sports are on wire-to-wire. British Open Golf in the morning, great stuff. If something's on at night like that, 10:30, awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. And the Tri-City Storm picked up a win over the weekend. One other volleyball note, the NAIA All-Americans have been released. Hastings College's Katie Zuha receives honorable mention, and the Division II National Championships wrapped up over the weekend. Southwest Minnesota State, who beat UNK in 5 sets in the opening round of the tournament, never had one closer until they got to the finals, and then number 1 Tampa, so the team not in the Central Region, wins it, and they do it in straight sets, 25-14, 20, and 21 to win the D2 National Championship.
Doug, if somebody here at the radio station has to go to San Diego so we can cover this better, I'll take one for the team.
Well, let's talk to the gang out at Midway. Maybe they can set you up with a nice drive out there. What do you think? Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, and they'll honor your education status as well. Get an additional $1,500 educator discount off the manufacturer's suggested retail price. To those who make us who we are, Chevy and its dealers proudly offering special pricing for educators through the first of the year. Current employees of a public or private school, university, or college are eligible to participate in the new educator discount program and receive a discount on the purchase or lease of a 2014 or 15 vehicle. Check it out at thinkmidway.com or stop by and see your Midway Auto Dealers, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, plus the Midway PBR Bull Challenge, bull riding coming up Saturday. They're going to be all over the place. I think Andy's going to put his boots on. Can't wait to see it. Folks, we want to thank Sean Merriman of Big Ten Network, Jimmy Langan. Thanks for coming in again today, and we'll be back tomorrow. Doug and Daddy Show. Go Big Red.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.